If you've been tuning in on Wednesday nights consistently, you know that I started a series on healing, your gift from God. That's the title. And tonight is going to be part four. So I'm going to do a brief review of part three. If you want to find out what's on one, two, and three, go online for that on our website. And that would particularly be good if this is your first time hearing this series so that you can get a foundation. Now, in the third part, I covered scriptures sharing that healing is the will of God for today. It did not pass away with the apostles and the disciples. It is still today. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I had mentioned that nowhere in the Bible does it say that the practice of medicine replaced the supernatural healing of God. It's not in there. It's not supposed to happen. So what has happened, though, is that people weren't hearing about healing from the body of Christ, from the pulpit, so they resort to the medical world. And we also have a lot of people who are not saved that don't know that this is part of their salvation. So when we received God as our healer, we don't need to get a second opinion. And I'm not saying you don't go to the doctor. That's not what I'm saying. But when you know him as your healer, he's everything. So we looked at where sickness comes from. We looked at Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So we saw that healing was done by Jesus, and the oppression, the sickness and disease came from Satan. We also looked at 1 John 3:3. And it says that the purpose of the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. So we looked at a lot of these things that confirm and establish that healing is for today. It was not done away with, as some teach and talk about. There's no expiration date on our salvation. Therefore, there's no expiration date on our healing. It's forever. We also looked at James 1:17. Matthew 8:16-17. And then I covered several scriptures on compassion, and it addressed the compassion of Jesus. And we found out that there is at least 5 miracles that Jesus did that are connected to compassion. So before I begin tonight's topic, let's review our declaration. We started this in the first message, and I encourage you to speak this out daily. And the declaration is this: I operate from a position of victory because I have already won. I operate from a position of victory because I have already won. I always approach the enemy from a position of power because the power of God is in me. I always approach the enemy from a position of power because the power of God is in me. And we have 3 anchor scriptures. Okay, they're all from the Passion. And the first one is 1 Peter 2:24. And it says, he himself carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we would be dead to sin and live for righteousness. Our instant healing, love that, our instant healing flowed from his wounding. In Romans 16:20, and the God of peace will swiftly pound Satan to a pulp under your feet, and the wonderful favor of our God, Jesus, will surround you. Love it. Our God, the God of peace, will swiftly pound Satan to a pulp under your feet. Then the third one was Romans 8:10-11. And it says, now Christ lives his life in you. We're going to be talking about life tonight, life and death. And even though your body may be dead because of the effects of sin, his life-giving spirit imparts life to you because you are fully accepted by God. Yes, God raised Jesus to life. And since God's spirit of resurrection, God's spirit of resurrection, remember that, lives in you, he will also raise your dying body to life by the same spirit that breathes life into you. And he, when we talk about death and so forth, right? The whole aspect of death and dying and stuff can really cause people to live in fear. And when I finished the last message, part three, I just touched on that slightly because tonight we're going to go into it in depth. And many have a fear of death. It is often why they allow fear to take control of their lives, especially when they're given an evil report. As Christians, we need to understand that fear is a tool of the devil, and he will use it to take you out. If he can give you an evil report, and the doctor says you have 6 months or 3 months or a year, and you believe it, then he won. But that should not be the case for Christians. So let me just make this statement. I made it last time in part three, but we, you and I, get to decide when we go home to be with the Lord. We get to decide when we go home to be with the Lord. But most Christians do not know that, and they don't enforce that in their lives. Moses lived until he was 120 years old and had completed what he was called to do. I don't plan to leave here until I have completed everything that God has called me to do. And I know there's things to do, don't know it all, but that's my plans. And nowhere in Scripture does it say that we have to be sick to die. Also, nowhere in the Bible does it say I can only have good health if I'm young. Aging does not equate or equal succumbing to sickness, disease, and death. Just because somebody is getting older, their 70s, 80s, whatever, that doesn't mean you die or you have to die with sickness and disease, all right? God promised us a long, full life. Let's look at Psalm 91. This is going to be the first scripture tonight. Psalm 91, verse 16. I usually go into the New King James, and then I go into the Passion. New King James, with long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Long life. That's what we're promised. Long life. Passion says it, you will be satisfied with a full life and with all that I do for you will enjoy the fullness of my salvation. A long, full life is what God has desired for his children. Now, when we approach the subject about death, there's two perspectives that I want to look at. First of all, how the Christian should look at death. That's one. How do we look at death? And the second part is how the death of a loved one can affect our mind and our bodies. Now, we're not going to have time to get into the second part, but at least you're aware of it because it's going to be intertwined into some of the things that I say. Now, in both situations, we need to always remember that we are never alone. If anything, I mean, we know we can't see God, but he is always there. Even if you are going through a major trial and a tough time with sickness or disease or family relationships or financial problems, you're not alone. You are never alone. Let's turn to Hebrews 13:5, and I'm going to read it in the New King James and then the Passion. Hebrews 13:5, the New King James. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. In the Passion, don't be obsessed with money, but live content with what you have, for you always have God's presence. For hasn't he promised you, I will never leave you alone, never, and I will not loosen my grip on your life. Let's go to Psalm 23, verse 4. I'm going to read that in the New King James and the Passion. New King James, Psalm 23, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through, key word here, through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. In the Passion, Lord, even when your path takes me through the valley of deepest darkness, fear will never conquer me. For you already have. You remain close to me and you lead me through it all the way. God's always leading us. There's always a light at the end of the tunnel. Your authority is my strength and my peace. The comfort of your love takes away my fear. I'll never be lonely, for you are near. The comfort of your love takes away my fear. And we know from the scriptures, perfect love casts out fear. I'll never be lonely, for you are near. Now notice that David didn't deny the reality that he was walking through, but he affirmed his faith that God was with him and that God was leading him through the situation. So the key word is through. We don't get stuck in the middle of something. We're always moving in the right direction. Now, when the loss of a loved one happens, especially if it's unexpectedly, it is a lot to absorb and can leave one in a state of shock. And this shock may affect the way we feel by temporarily numbing our senses, but we are never removed from God's love and from having his presence in our lives. It's always there, no matter how tough the situation. So let's get started on the subject tonight of death and life for a Christian. And as you know, we always go to the word to find out our answers. So the first thing we're going to look at is chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. Now, I'm going to be giving you a lot of scriptures tonight. I'm not apologizing for that. But I want you to get a good understanding of where we're going with this. 2 Peter chapter 1, 2 to 4 in the New King James first. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given, notice the tense, past tense, has given to us all things that pertain to life, not death, that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, pay attention. I'm going to read in the Passion, but pay attention to the number of past tense references here. May grace and perfect peace cascade over you as you live in the rich knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. Everything we could ever need for life and godliness has already, past tense, been deposited in us by his divine power. And that includes healing. For all this was lavished upon us through the rich experience of knowing him who has called us by name and invited us to come to him through a glorious manifestation of his goodness. As a result of this, he has given, past tense, he has given you magnificent promises that are beyond all price, so that through the power of these tremendous promises, you can experience partnership with the divine nature, by which you have escaped the corrupt desires that are of the world. So, when we're born again, our spirits were recreated and we became new creatures in Christ. All right, we know that from 2 Corinthians 5:17, new creatures in Christ, the old has passed away. Jesus took up his abode inside of us and the old you, the old me, died. And we got his life in us. Our spirits were dead. And as soon as we confessed Jesus Christ, our spirits became brand new. So the word life in Greek is zoe. And some of you know this is not something new that hasn't been taught around here, but zoe life in the Greek, the definition refers to the principle of life. And in the New Testament, zoe denotes not only physical life, but spiritual life, which one can possess only through faith in Jesus Christ. Eternal life refers not only to duration of life, but to quality of life. It is a present life of grace and a future life of glory. That's the definition from the Strong's. So we get our eternal life through Jesus Christ. All right. And what God wants is for us to have a quality, a good quality of life, as well as a long life. Eternal life refers to not only the duration of your life, but to the quality of life. Now let's go to John 1 verse 4, John chapter 1 verse 4, in the New King James and then the Passion. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Life was in Jesus Christ. Listen to it in the Passion. It says, life came into being because of him, for his life is light for all humanity. So life comes from God through Jesus and is given to all who trust in him. And we could say that by receiving life, or by receiving Jesus, a person begins to grow supernaturally. Our spirit, soul, and body. Our spirit was dead, and now our soul and body are growing in a right direction towards God. It's growing through the power of God's life in us. That life is now in us. His life is in us, and now we're going to grow because of that. The Lord Jesus Christ, who is life, moved into our recreated spirits, giving us a fountain of his divine life that will never run dry. Not only is Jesus in us, but he will never leave. This new life never leaves us. You and I will never die. Now you might think that's strange, but follow me, because I'm going somewhere with this message. Let's go to John 17, 2 and 3. John 17, 2 to 3. Now in this verse here, it's Jesus is praying to the Father. In the New King James, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him, and this eternal life that they may know you, the only true God, as Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Now listen to it in the Passion. You have already given me authority over all people so that I may give the gift of eternal life to all those who have given, to all those, I'm sorry, that you have given to me. Now, eternal life, the definition of eternal life basically means to know and experience you as the only true God, and to know and experience Jesus Christ as the Son who you have sent. That's what that verse is saying to us. Our eternal life came from God through Jesus Christ to us. Let's look at John 14, 6 in the New King James. John 14, 6, New King James, and then the Passion. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Passion says, Jesus explained, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through union with me. To know me is to know my Father. So wherever Jesus is, there is life. Wherever Jesus is, there is life. Now, let's go to 1 John 5:12, the New King James. 1 John 5:12. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. The Passion says it. Whoever has the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not have the Son does not possess eternal life. Let's go to, we're in 1 John. Now jump into 1 John 5:20. Go down a couple verses. New King James. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Passion. And we know that the Son of God has made our understanding come alive, so that we can know by experience the one who is true. And we are in him. We know we're in him and we're seated in heavenly places with him. And we are in him who is true, God's son, Jesus Christ, the true God and eternal life. Let's go to 1 John 3:14. 1 John 3:14, the New King James and the Passion. We know that we have passed from death to life. We have passed from death to life because we love the brethren, and he who does not love his brother abides in death. Now, let me stop there for a second. We know that we have passed from death to life. The moment we got born again and our spirits became recreated, we passed from death to life. Past tense. Okay? The Passion says, yet we can be assured that we have been translated from spiritual death into spiritual life because we love the family of believers. A loveless life remains spiritually dead. Okay? So as Christians, we already passed from death to life when we got born again, because we got everything that pertains to life and godliness when we got born again. Now let's go to John chapter 11, and I'm going to read verses 21 to 26. And this is the story, or part of the story, of Lazarus after he had died. John 11:21-26, first in the New King James. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, now listen close, I am the resurrection and the life. Notice two things. I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Let me tear this apart a little bit. Okay. Jesus is separating. He speaks of life and resurrection separately. So, a couple things here. Lazarus is going to be raised from the dead. There's no life in him, but he needs resurrection life. And Jesus provides and supplies whatever is needed. So that's, he's coming, he's saying, I am the resurrection life that he needs. Amen? So, listen to this in the Passion. Martha said to Jesus, my Lord, if only you had come sooner, my brother wouldn't have died. But I know that if you were to ask God for anything, he would do it for you. And Jesus told her, your brother will rise and live. She replied, yes, I know he will rise with everyone else on resurrection day. Martha, Jesus said, you don't have to wait until then. I am the resurrection and I am eternal life. Anyone who comes to me in faith, even though he dies, will live forever. And the one who lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? So, he's saying, you're never going to die because you believe in me. He who lives by believing in me will never die. So Jesus is both the resurrection and eternal life. Now, follow if you can. He provided the resurrection life to Lazarus at that moment because that was what was needed. He does the same thing for you and I. Now the phrase here, I am life eternal, it's an Aramaic word that's related to the name of Noah, who was symbolically resurrected from the flood as the life giver to those who repopulated the earth. All right, now, The definition of resurrection here from the Strong's means a standing up again. So Jesus is resurrecting Lazarus. He's dead, he's died, but he's going to stand up again. It means a resurrection from death, a moral recovery of spiritual truth, raised to life again, rise from the dead, rising again. Resurrection is superior to life. Let me say that again. Resurrection is superior to life. They're separate. Life can be defeated and ended. Lazarus died. His life had ended. But resurrection overcomes. Jesus died, but he was raised from the dead. Lazarus died, but Jesus resurrected him from the dead. Follow? Two things. Life, resurrection life. So, life is the power to exist, but resurrection is the power to conquer all, even death itself. Let me say that again. Life is the power to exist, but resurrection is the power to conquer all, even death itself. Now, I'm going to go back up to this about the separation of resurrection and life and kind of go over it again so this hopefully you can digest and get the revelation. Resurrection is superior to life. But Jesus operated in resurrection life when he raised Lazarus from the dead. God the Father operated that in the life of Jesus when he resurrected Jesus from the dead. Resurrection, okay, overcomes. But life can be defeated and ended. Life is the power to exist. We have eternal life here on earth, but resurrection is the power to conquer all, even death itself. Believers must learn to live in Christ our life, but also Christ, our resurrection, to conquer all things. Amen? Hope you got some revelation there with that. Now, let's go to Philippians 3:10. Philippians 3:10 in the New King James, and then we're going to read it in the Voice and in the Passion. Philippians 3:10 in the New King James says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings being conformed to his death. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. In the Voice, I want to know him inside and out. I want to experience the power of his resurrection and join in his suffering shaped by his death. Listen to the Passion. And I continually long to know the wonders of Jesus more fully and to experience the overflowing power of his resurrection working in me. So if I'm walking down the street and somebody 20 feet in front of me suddenly drops over dead, okay, as a Christian, I need to understand that I have that resurrection power in me that I can go over there and lay hands on him and say, no, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you rise. You will live and not die. I can use that power, that resurrection power in that situation. And as I was studying this last night, I wanted to go to the local morgue, you know? Just want to go in the hospital, go in the morgue and say, get up in the name of Jesus, get up in the name of Jesus. Because we have that resurrection life in us. We have eternal life, but we have resurrection life as well. It's overflowing and working in us. So when a Christian gets the understanding of eternal life, it brings revelation that pierces the darkness in the world system, and they can't be defeated. We can't be defeated unless we allow fear and everything else to overwhelm us. Let's go to Revelations 1:18 in the New King James, and then the Passion. Revelation 1:18. This is Jesus. He's speaking. He said, I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. I have the keys of Hades or hell and of death. And the Passion says, don't yield to fear. I am the beginning and I am the end, the living one. I was dead, but now look, I am alive forever and ever. And you could say forever and ever and ever and ever. And I hold the keys that unlock death and the unseen world. You could say that about yourself. I am alive forever and ever and ever. I will never die. My spirit never dies. It's going to be simply transformed, transitioned, graduated to eternal life. Okay, let's look at Romans 8:2. Romans 8:2 in the New King James. Before we go there, we'll get up on the screen. But Jesus said, I hold the keys that unlock death and the unseen world. So he has the keys of all authority, all keys. And we were given, the church was given the keys to bind and loose. And we have all authority as the body of Christ. We have nothing to fear, absolutely nothing to fear. Romans 8, verse 2 in the New King James. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. I am free from death. It has no power over me. I've been set free from the power of death. You have been set free from the power of death. I'm going to read that same verse in the Voice. Because when you live in the Anointed One, Jesus, a new law takes effect. The law of the Spirit of life breathes into you and liberates you from the law of sin and death. We are free from death. Let's go to John 5:24 in the New King James. John 5:24. I'm going to read it in the New King James and then the Voice. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Notice the tense, it's done. And that happened at the time we got born again. We passed from death into life. I guess you could almost say we went over it, you know, like it's there, but doesn't affect us. In the Voice, it says, I tell you the truth. Eternal life belongs to those who hear my voice and believe in the one who sent me. These people have no reason to fear judgment because they have already left death and entered life. We've already left death and we've entered life. There's absolutely no reason to fear death. And I understand sometimes there's like that fear of the unknown, but for Christians, eternity is a great place to be or to go. Let's go to John 8:51 in the New King James and then the Passion. John chapter 8, verse 51. Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. He shall never see death. And the Passion says, I speak to you this eternal truth. Whoever cherishes my words and keeps them will never experience death. I hope you're getting this, okay? We as Christians don't experience death because our spirits are alive to Christ. Once we got born again, the spirit never dies. But our flesh, our body, that's the part that's going to die. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. You can wind this down here. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 55 to 58. And I'm reading it in the Voice. And I like how it says it. Hey, death, what happened to your big win? You could say it to the devil. Because we won. Hey, death, what happened to your sting? Sin came into this world and death's sting followed. Then sin took aim at the law and gained power over those who follow the law. Thank God then for our Lord Jesus, the anointed, the liberating King, who brought us victory over the grave. He brought us victory over the grave before we got there or may get there. Okay? He brought us victory. My dear brothers and sisters, stay firmly planted, be unshakable, do many good works in the name of God, and know that all your labor is not for nothing when it is for God. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 to 10 in the New King James and then the Passion. 2 Timothy, starting at verse 8, chapter 1. Therefore, this is now the Apostle Paul talking to Timothy. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, not of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death. Jesus abolished death and brought life and immortality, which is eternal life, to light through the gospel. Let me say that last part again. Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Listen to the Passion. Never be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor be embarrassed over my imprisonment, but overcome every evil by the revelation of the power of God. He gave us resurrection life. He gave you, he gave me resurrection life and drew us to himself by his holy calling on our lives. And it wasn't because of any good we have done, but by his divine pleasure and marvelous grace that confirmed our union with the anointed Jesus even before time began. This truth is now being unveiled by revelation of the anointed Jesus, our life giver, who has dismantled death, obliterating all its effects on our lives, and has manifested his immortal life in us by the gospel. That last sentence there, okay? This truth is now being unveiled by revelation of the anointed Jesus, our life giver, who has dismantled death. Christians do not experience death like the world, obliterating all its effects on our lives, and has manifested his immortal life in us by the gospel. Let's look at Psalm 116, verse 15 in the New King James. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. So as a believer in Jesus, you do not need to fear death. Martha discovered this. You too can know that Jesus has defeated the power of death. Although your body will one day die, our spirit will live forever and ever and ever with God. Your spirit is the real you. Your spirit is the real you. When our flesh dies, it no longer has life in it, but the life of Christ Jesus is still in our spirits, and we simply slide over into eternity. It's that easy. We're still alive. We're alive forever. We've conquered death. It's been abolished, and we simply slide over to eternity. So whether it's you yourself who's affected by death, or you had concerns about a loved one, Christians need not fear the actual event of death. From doing all this, what I did glean from this is how critical it is for us to be sure that we get those in our family born again. And if we don't know some of our friends, neighbors, if they're saved, confirm that. The last thing we ever want is for people to go to hell. It's that much more critical in my mind that we go out there and evangelize and get people saved. So I hope this helps you to kind of get a grasp of the power that's in you. So it's not just eternal life, but it's resurrection life. And it's that same power that will heal your body. It will quicken and make alive your body, your physical body. Amen? So let's pray. Father God, let your word bring comfort and peace to all the souls of those who live in fear of death and who have grieved over the loss of their loved ones. Replace their fear with faith in your gift of eternal life. Bring them comfort and peace that the world cannot provide. You want us living our Zoe life of wholeness. So thank you for all of this through our relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. So if you're watching out there tonight, and maybe you tuned in for the first time, or maybe you're not sure if you have eternal life or this relationship with Jesus Christ, you can pray this simple prayer with me and you can know that you will have eternal life. At the conclusion of the prayer, you will be born again. So all you have to do is repeat after me and say, "Dear God, I believe that Jesus Christ is your son. I believe that he was crucified, died, and buried. But on the third day, he was resurrected to life. He rose from the dead. Jesus, forgive me for my sins, and I ask you to come into my heart, take over my life, be my Savior and my Lord. I thank you for eternal life, that I will live forever and ever and ever with you. Amen." If you pray that simple prayer, on the screen you'll see ways to contact us. We would love to know. We would love to share with you information to get you started in the right direction, because you need to be given material so that you can get your spiritual growth and your mind renewed to continue in your spiritual walk with the Lord.